21st Century HR is a podcast exploring how to build better businesses through modern people practices and approaches. It's brought to you by my firm, Amplify. Amplify provides HR executive search and strategic consulting services that help companies build better organizations. From employer brand development and execution to global talent strategies, Amplify develops custom solutions that help clients from Hootsuite to SpaceX optimize their recruiting capabilities. Amplify also hosts a new community for HR leaders called the Ecosystem. The Ecosystem was designed to bring modern HR leaders around the world together to share ideas, inspiration, and support. Learn more at amplifytalent.com.
Hey everyone, welcome to 21st Century HR Live. I'm your host, Lars Schmidt, and I'm really excited about today's episode. So today is going to be a first for 21st Century HR Live. I'm going to be joined by two guests. So we've tested the technology of the streaming platform. It works seamlessly. Hopefully I'm not regretting saying that out loud by the end of this episode, but I think we're in a good spot. So in today's episode, I'm going to be joined by Jill Macri and Adam Ward from Growth by Design Talent. Both are seasoned recruiting leaders. They both run recruiting teams in high-scale organizations like Airbnb and many others. And so tons of depth of experience in startups and hyper-growth companies. Now they are both partners in Growth by Design Talent, where they help organizations in a range of topics from executive search, recruiting, training, and leadership to recruiting org design, and a lot more. So really excited to get their take on how COVID-19 is impacting recruiting specifically, and kind of all the things that come with that. So let me go ahead and bring them in and we'll get things kicked off. Jill, Adam, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having us.
Good to see you, Lars.
Yeah, so you know, I'd love to start off with introduction. So for viewers that that aren't familiar with you, Jill, we'll start with you. If you just wanna give a bit of an introduction and background on you, and then Adam, when Jill wraps up, you can introduce yourself.
Great. So I'm Jill Macri. I led recruiting at Airbnb for 5+ years from when we were around 100 people till we were just over 4,000 when I left. When I got there, I was the second person in recruiting, and we scaled up the team to about 150 over my time there. And then started Growth by Design with Adam and another partner, Mike Joyner, to help other companies. At Airbnb, we did a lot of things, I think, differently than other companies had, and it really became this virtuous cycle that allowed us to attract the best talent. So now Adam, Mike, and I focus on helping other companies set those foundations for successful scaling.
Hi, everyone. I'm Adam Ward. I was most recently at Pinterest. I was there for 5 years, and the majority of the time I led recruiting there. That's where we first met Jill, and really saw a ton of scale at Pinterest from 200 to a little bit over 2,200. Prior to Pinterest, I was at Facebook, where I was a director of recruiting, where I mostly focused on building out their university recruiting program. So saw lots of scale for my 3 years there. And then prior to that, I was at Qualcomm for 7 years doing some international recruiting, and some university recruiting, and prior to that was at a series of different startups. So great to be here, and we're excited to hopefully answer some of your questions later.
Great. So you both obviously have some recruiting bona fides when it comes to this space. So you've been around the block, you've led a lot of high growth organizations, and so you know, the feedback and the perspective you have on recruiting's impact now is not from the bleachers. You've actually been in the seat for quite some time. So just a quick reminder for viewers, this is an interactive show. So if you have questions for either Adam or Jill, feel free to bring those in the comments of wherever you're streaming this. And I will do my best to cover them with them on the show. So before we get started, you know, Growth by Design Talent, I know you're involved in a lot of different things in that partnership. So maybe start there if you could, like talk about maybe the transition from corporate, which both of you would, you know, spend the majority of your careers to kind of collaborating on a project, and then, you know, what you actually do. I think that'll help viewers, you know, better understand kind of where you're coming to the conversation from.
Great. Well, so I think when you've been in a really high growth organization, We like to say, you know, over our time of scaling at these companies, that it was actually multiple companies. So I think often people think, oh, Airbnb and Pinterest, they think of the Airbnb and Pinterest of today, not remembering that there was a time when we joined where people didn't know what those companies were, and obviously didn't know what the future of the companies were going to be. So there's a lot of things that you learn, and you kind of look back in hindsight 2020, see the things that you did that were really, you know, made a difference, and also potentially see the things that you did that you wish you hadn't done. And so we like to help companies with the benefit of our, you know, experience, both put the things that we found really successful, these foundational elements that we found successful for scaling in early, and then also avoid some of the pitfalls and things that we wish we hadn't done. So I would say, like, at its heart, that's kind of what motivated all of us to start Growth by Design Talent. And then also, we, from a leadership perspective, leading recruiting is a very lonely job, and it's a really high pressure job. You're often the spear tip, and I think a lot of recruiting leaders are experiencing this right now. You're the spear tip of everything new for the company, right? A lot of things hit recruiting first. So, you know, if you're changing strategy, if the talent strategy is the first thing that needs to change, et cetera. And so we really wanted to support leaders who often are in the biggest job of their lives. So we started a recruiting leadership academy where we kind of get to be the resource that we wish that we had had. So one of our offerings at Growth by Design is a recruiting leadership academy where we do a series of day-long workshops to help recruiting leaders get better in their craft and also help them build a really productive and proactive network. Because Adam, Mike, and I met through, we basically networked, met, found this really strong kind of peer and benchmarking relationship that we felt like helped us all be better leaders for our respective companies. So we really try to build that sense of recruiting community. Maybe I'll let Adam fill in a couple of the other things that we do at Growth by Design.
Yeah, for sure. We often start with some advisory work with clients where they ask us to come in and say, we're here, we want to get here, and we need help figuring out how to put in the right systems, tools, foundation work. So part of our advisory practice is actually doing that diagnostic work with clients where we'll come in, look under the hood, and help put together a roadmap or playbook for them of what they would maybe need to put in place in a prioritized order. And then we can help execute on some of those things with them. That often leads to some of our other work, which would be some of our search work. So we do some retained search work for recruiting and HR leaders. We can also do some helping recruiting leaders or HR leaders build out the recruiting team, or even do some specialized recruiting. But often that ends up being a secondary piece or a dovetail off of some of the advisory work that we do or relationships that we make from the Recruiting Leadership Academy. And so by design, we're into many different channels because we think that these companies are, the companies we work with are high growth and dynamic, and they have a series of challenges. And we like to be a resource where they can go to get a wide variety of support versus having to go to several different outside firms.
Yeah, you know, Jill, and I'm really glad you mentioned that aspect of, you know, working at several different companies within one, because I think, especially for recruiting leaders that were at some companies that are, you know, marquee companies now and name brands now, they weren't always that way. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that early stage, I think a lot of times people, you know, assume you had all the advantages that being, you know, a blue chip company had, you know, regardless of when you started. And the reality is when you're a 100-person company, you know, and you're still kind of at the very early stages of that upwards trajectory, you don't have any of that brand cachet. You know, you're building all of that. And so the scrappiness required to build impactful recruiting programs, I think that isn't necessarily appreciated by people who are just like, well, of course, you know, you work at X company. You know, everybody wants to work there. Like, okay, maybe now because of the work that we put in and building the company to get to that point. But, you know, that's not always the case, especially in the earlier stages. I want to ask you both, you know, one of the things that you worked on in the early stages of COVID-19 was surveying. So you've got a massive kind of ecosystem of recruiting and recruiting ops and people ops leaders across you know, technology, but not necessarily limited to that. And so in the early stages of this, you put out a survey to kind of get a read on how COVID was impacting the world of recruiting. And if you're watching this on LinkedIn, I actually added a link to it in the comment section on my post. But, you know, I'm curious, where did the survey, where did the idea for it come from? How did you mobilize the survey? Because you're pretty early on that. I remember that coming out. I want to say it was definitely in, you know, March, but it was in the earlier stages of this. So I'd love to hear just the background on, you know, how that came together, how you determined what were the key areas to survey, and then also spend some time kind of just digging into the results and, you know, what was some of the feedback you saw of that, you know, what was surprising. So, you know, Adam, I'll open with you on that one, and then I'd love to get Jill's perspective as well.
Sure. I feel like even today and early on, every day of the you know, this COVID virus feels like a week. And so much was rapidly changing. And, you know, one of the nice things that we have with Growth by Design Talent is a wide purview to a lot of different companies, but, you know, very advisory and coaching relationships with a lot of talent leaders. And so we really collectively thought, what could we do that could be most beneficiary to the ecosystem? And we thought that was to get some really early insights into the challenges that recruiting and talent organizations were facing, and, you know, sharing our best practices and making those connections and creating a community. And so, you know, we wanted to do a series of surveys and articles, you know, weekly and sometimes even more frequently than that to keep everyone abreast and apprised of what was going on. And then we did actually follow up Zoom calls with a large community so they could talk through some of those things, both from a sharing of best practices, but honestly, from a commiseration or even, you know, a cathartic kind of way of building a network, someone that was a network of people who are empathetic to the challenges they were going through. So that was kind of the backdrop of what we wanted to do. And we thought, you know, done was better than perfect. Let's get information out there. Let's get conversation started, even though, you know, we know it's changing day by day. And maybe, Jill, you want to share some of the interesting insights then and things that are still true that we're finding today.
Yeah, I think, like you said, it's every day is a year. So it feels like old news. But back then, you know, 3 or 4 weeks ago, people were starting to talk about onboarding and how are we going to do remote onboarding and how are we, you know, what are we doing really in terms of video interviewing. So all those things kind of remain true, but I think a lot of companies have kind of worked through the kinks of that. But some things that remain true is that, for example, we found a theme about just making decisions with purely video interviewing, both on the candidate side and on the hiring manager side. So basically, how do you get hiring managers to pull the trigger on an offer when they haven't met people in person? There was a theme of if a candidate had started their process in person and then, you know, the crisis hit and they finished their interviews with video interviews, then decisions weren't being made quickly. But if it was an entirely video interview process, it was harder. And so how do you get that surety? What's interesting about that is, like, it really forces a very structured process. So Adam and Mike and I spend a lot of time talking about, like, what are the, you know, what are the silver linings? What are the positive consequences of this? Because obviously there's a lot of negative to focus on. We try and focus on the positive. And what's interesting is that really having a much more structured process can partially solve for that, the hiring manager being able to make a faster decision or a decision on offering a candidate. And then the flip side of that was that teams were finding that having for candidates making decisions when it's all been a video interview experience could be challenging. And what was great is that we have some within our network, we have some recruiting leaders who their companies already were fully remote. So what's great is they could share insight on how they do things, because for them, they've been doing it. You know, it's just the way that they do interviewing. So that was one kind of theme around video interviewing. And really, I think another unintended positive consequence is that on the candidate side, some of the things you have to do in order to help candidates make decisions is really crystallize what's different about your company. And we often when we're helping companies, we do candidate experience design. So we'll do the candidate journey. And we really help companies to crystallize their differentiators through that process. And it's not something that a lot of companies have done, but this is really forcing them to not just be, you know, another series of video interviews. You no longer have your, you know, beautiful office to rely on, or like the friendly people smiling as the, you know, you get off the elevator, or like the awesome coffee bar. And so now you need to crystallize what is really essentially different about our company, and then how do we showcase that in a virtual way? So we've seen a ton of creativity come out of that. You know, everything from like some really cool offer videos shot on iPhones to, you know, really like making space for more casual chats within the interview process. One thing that we've encouraged companies to do is like kind of throw your playbook out the window in a way, and you might need to think of every hire as an executive hire. So in order to give candidates surety, you might need to give an IC engineer, you know, access to your CEO and have a 15-minute chat with your CEO, or maybe even a board member. These are things that you generally would only do for exec candidates, but now, you know, you might need to do that to get any candidate comfortable, and it's worth the investment. So what's been interesting to see is kind of that scale up in high touch candidate experience in order to get candidates over the line.
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting you talk about the space. I mean, I think one aspect of this is that companies, your candidate experience is so stripped down, right? It's all about the connections they're making really via video conference or phone. I mean, not everything has to be video, but the way that they're connecting with your people, the way you're able to convey and articulate your story, your opportunities, your advantages, what makes you different. You know, all of those things. I think it's weird. Like, you know, I spend a lot of time in the employer branding world, which is kind of upside down right now, because I think a lot of the typical, you know, campaigns and recruitment marketing stuff that people have been doing for years, you know, now is kind of coming to a halt, because that messaging is not really what candidates care about, you know, right now. And so I think that they've had to rethink. And I've seen, you know, employer brand content, you know, really starting to converge with CSR and corporate social responsibility a lot more, because it's about like, what are you doing for your people? What are you doing for your community? What are you doing to give back? Like, those are the things that I think people care about right now. And it's, you know, the idea of being able to lean into on-site amenities. We don't know when we're going to have that again. So, you know, I think it's caused teams to think really differently about how they position and frame both the company, but also the opportunities. I want to bring in one question from your viewer right now. This question is from Erin, who's watching over on YouTube. And she had a question around, you know, when recruiters and candidates are trying to gauge, you know, companies and, that they might want to work for, how can they get a read on genuine stability of the organization versus false confidence, right? Mm-hmm. Do you have any perspective on that to share with Erin around how job candidates can kind of, you know, really kick the tires and determine whether a company is truly stable, or they just have, you know, really good stable external positioning, but it's a house of cards?
Yeah. No, I mean, it's a great question. I think that really candidates should be doing the due diligence that they should always be doing. But honestly, in the last 8-9 years, in this high growth, everyone's trying just to catch the next, you know, rocket ship or whatever. And they're not really looking beyond the highly stylized external messages that a company is putting out there. And so, you know, things that candidates should always be doing is really asking about the core fundamentals of the business. So how much funding have they gotten? How much runway do they have if they're a startup? What, you know, if they're a publicly traded company, there's lots of great information out there that they can look at quarter over quarter or year over year revenue and run rate. They can be asking questions around the user growth or product pipeline or upcoming revenue pipeline. Questions they should be asking really about the core fundamentals, I think is really important. They should also be talking to people who, you know, in their network, or they should network into people who work there or who have recently worked there, to be, you know, in the same way that a lot of companies back channel candidates, candidates should be back channeling the company too. And so they're really looking at what are the business fundamentals of the company. And then if, as much as they can, projecting forward into what the current economy we're in, or the next, you know, 2 years might look like, does their product and positioning as they describe it, or the information you're able to find out, does it make sense to you? Is that like a story that feels consistent and logical to you? I think those are like the homework that the candidates can and should be doing more of as they consider new companies.
Yeah, and I think those are all really good points. And I'm curious from both of your perspectives, like you have this, this ecosystem of recruiters that you're tapped into, you're having regular conversations with. How should recruiters and really recruiting teams be adapting right now? So like we have, lots of companies, especially in tech, that are having reductions or publishing layoff lists, and you review those and you're seeing a lot of people in the recruiting team being impacted. You're seeing a lot of people in people ops and as well as other areas. So I think that there's a lot of insecurity within the recruiting community right now, either people who have been impacted by layoffs or aren't really sure about the future of their company or how much they're actually going to be hiring and growing. And so when you are when you're hosting those forums, when you're having those conversations with recruiters, what's their mindset right now? Like, how are people feeling? And then more specifically, like for recruiting leaders that are listening, what are some things that they can be doing with their team to kind of adapt, to take advantage of this time where, recruiting and hiring is probably going to be a bit slower, and maybe kind of get under the hood and refine some of their processes and systems to make them actually more impactful when things begin to pick up again?
Yeah, I've got some ideas on that. So this is something we're currently hearing kind of like in this phase, this couple weeks of the crisis, is like this idea of additional resources. Companies that are, there's a lull in hiring as maybe the company reconsiders its strategy and the business is sorting itself out. And we have a lot of recruiting leaders who are like, conscious of the fact that they want their team to be productive and busy for a couple reasons. One, obviously, the optics in the current market, but also people are so much more engaged, especially recruiters. We often say like, we function best between 80 and 110%. You don't want bored recruiters. That doesn't do well, because it tends to be, a group of really achievement oriented type people. So how do you keep them engaged? Our partner Mike put out an article a few weeks ago or a week or so ago on just using sprint methodology around, whether it be operational projects or other projects, kind of creating that sprint momentum and milestones so people can feel like they're achieving and actually be achieving goals. So, knocking out that wish list of projects that you've always said, we would improve this if we only had the time, whether it be, candidate experience, like we talked about, is a good one, refining structured interviewing, finally putting together a competency dictionary that, the company can learn. We've had more interview training requests than because we do interviewer and hiring manager training. So that's something that obviously people are investing in, that training right now. And, we moved ours online, and now it's like, okay, great. If you have, if the team can spare 2 hours, like you can then get trained up on that. So a lot of investment in learning. So there are a few things that I think leaders are finding helpful kind of with those additional resources. And then the other thing I would say is like, right now, more than ever, it's our responsibility as recruiting leaders to arm the business with the correct data to make decisions. So there's a couple things that are happening. If you are a company that's hiring, now is an incredible time where you almost have, you can, I'm gonna use the wrong analogy. You can hit above your weight class. I think that's one. I think that's an analogy. Anyway, but it's a time when you can attract this amazing talent. And really, I think recruiting leaders should be going to the business and saying like, hey, if we're going to be growing, the sales team, like, let's get on this. Let's not wait 3 weeks. Here's what the market looks like. Here are some samples of people who we could engage now. So I think more than ever, it's recruiting leaders' job to inform the business of like what's going on and what's the potential, what are the pitfalls as well. So I think that's a responsibility and really a way to be a key partner to the business right now.
Yeah, I think that those are great points. If you're a recruiting leader, actually, I shouldn't say that. If you're a recruiting leader, you're always going to have projects that you're saying, oh, if only I had the bandwidth, I would love to do X. Well, guess what? Now is that time. You need to be doing X. Like whatever the X is, look X across your entire function, right? It could be systems, it could be tools, it could be processes, it could be training. It's very rare that you will ever have a moment quite like this where the hiring expectations have slowed down and you can actually take a step back and be more strategic around, getting under the hood and figuring out what systems you need to have in place in order to be optimized when things do turn the corner. And I want to come back, one more question from YouTube. This question is from Justine. She's curious, how do you see recruiting changing after the stay-at-home orders have been lifted? We're talking a lot about return to work, and that's a massively complicated, topic. But from your perspectives, some states are already beginning to do this now in the U.S. We're trending in that direction, at least for now. Nobody knows exactly what the horizon on this is going to be and kind of what the timetable is. But, let's just fast forward a little bit. Let's just say, most of the stay-at-home orders, at least in the U.S., have been lifted. What's different about recruiting at that point?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things. And Jill, I'd love to hear your thoughts as well. I think there's some things that will just not go back to the way they were. I do feel like there's going to be a lot more focus on authenticity, tailored messaging, virtual type of events. And so I feel like that's going to be something that companies are going to see that they were moderately successful at when they were forced to do that. And from a resources and capacity standpoint, that might make sense for them going forward. So I think that's one thing that we'll see. I think the second thing we'll see is if it wasn't already happening, a really tight relationship with a broader HR organization and recruiting organizations that are going to need to be pliable, that they're going to have to be able to expand and contract and react to different market conditions, because the market is going to be skittish for the next quarters or month or months at least. And the businesses are going to have to react to that, and they're going to be reluctant to vastly grow and expand again. So recruiting is going to have to be reactive and adjust to the business needs. And a lot of that information sometimes comes from broader HR or people partners. But recruiting is going to be, required for recruiting to be really close to the business and tied to that so that they can adjust recruiting strategy accordingly.
Yeah, Jill, anything else you want to add to that?
I just think the video interview process is not going away. Now that people have gotten comfortable with it, I don't see us flying in candidates. And I think that's something that it's worth spending time on perfecting, because it's not just a now thing.
Yeah, it was interesting. There was I saw a tweet yesterday from Zillow's CEO, and he basically sent out an announcement to employees saying that any employee that wishes to remain working remote through the end of 2020 can, regardless of what their return to work plans are. And he basically said, I've had a change in perspective, through this around remote work and what can be done. And I think that a lot of CEOs are actually going through that. There are a lot of CEOs that were maybe, kind of old school in their thinking, or they just felt that, you needed to have boots on the ground in the office, culture, water cooler, or whatever, anecdotes they'd use to back that up. And I think now they've seen that they've been able to operate at a high level despite ridiculously difficult circumstances for their employees without having people go into an office. And so I think that whole, shift towards remote and distributed work is absolutely going to be accelerated by this. And I think, again, for companies that are really willing to embrace this, from a talent perspective, it's a massive advantage, because not only are you now able to recruit across geographies and globally, there's a new segment of people who might be in a city, but for whatever reason, they're not comfortable going back to an office, where maybe they have underlying health conditions, maybe they have kids at home, maybe they're taking care of parents. Even if they are in a city like San Francisco, where they're an engineer, they could get a job anywhere in a day, they're not going back into an office. And so you can be opportunistic, with that talent. And, Jill, to your point, punching above your weight, I think it's a great opportunity for companies that ordinarily wouldn't be able to compete for that talent to now compete for them by having a distributed setup. So I want to actually, we're almost at time. Before we wrap up, I want to, touch on the final segment for the show, which is one good thing. So, as you look back on your previous week, I'd love for each of you to just take a minute and just share one good thing that stands out to each of you. And Jill, we'll start with you.
Well, that's funny. I have two good things at home, which are my kids. I'll just share this. One of them learned how to play peekaboo this week. And it remains to be like, it's the most thrilling thing to him. So I would say like it's hard being at home with the kids, home as well. There's definitely some real challenges work-wise. But also there's some joys about being around for those little moments.
It's tough to follow that. I will say I had the opportunity to be on a client call with a woman who runs talent, and she's in New York. And she lives, I think maybe her apartment is on the 22nd floor or something. But as many of you know, at 7 o'clock in New York City, everyone goes out onto their balconies and does a cheers or a cheer for healthcare workers. And so being 4 o'clock on the West Coast, I was able to be on that call with her and participate in that that kind of celebration of healthcare workers. And it was kind of just a really awesome sight and sound to see as the cheers kind of reverberated and echoed across those tall apartment buildings in New York City.
Yeah, I've got to say, I've seen, I don't know how many of those at this point, and they will never get old. Like I love in all the different cities, just seeing how they celebrate healthcare workers. And, you know, I get chills every video I see it in. And I have from the first one I saw to the one I saw yesterday. I don't think that's going to go away. So Jill, Adam, thanks so much for coming on the show, sharing your background. Just really quick before we wrap up, what is the best way for viewers to connect with you after the show?
They can just go to our website, which is growthbydesigntalent.com or gbdtalent.com. And we also do community roundtables every 2 weeks. So, you know, just go to the website and shoot us an email if you're interested in joining those.
All right. Sounds great. Well, I appreciate your time and I appreciate all the viewers out there watching. We'll be back tomorrow at noon with my buddy, Will Staney, the founder and CEO of Proactive Talent. So we'll see you at noon, and thanks for tuning in. Stay safe and take care.
Bye. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for listening to this episode of 21st Century HR. If you want to hear more episodes like this or read stories from the 21st Century HR Fast Company series, go to 21stcenturyhr.com. And if you want to make your podcast just a little more awesome, be sure to subscribe to the show on iTunes, Spotify, SoundCloud, or whatever podcast platform your ears desire. You'll find all the subscribe links on the website. And if you enjoy the podcast, do me a favor and share it with your peers, your network, your boss, and your CEO. Help me get the podcast into the ears of anyone who wants to know what HR and recruiting looks like when done really well. They'll thank you for it, and so will I. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next episode.